Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text is from the gospel lesson appointed for today, from Mark chapter 1. Passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Well, it is a privilege to be here. It is a joy to be able to come from St. Catharines and bring greetings from the seminary. The cold weather is a bit of a disappointment to me, but it's nice to be here. Don't blame me for that. It's actually warmer back home than it is here. "I will make you fishers of men." How often have you heard that line, that verse? It's common enough, isn't it? Maybe it's too common because we stop thinking what it's actually about. The message is invariably what we're supposed to do. I think of that Sunday school song, "I will make you fishers of men, if you follow me." And it's often laid out as a command. Okay, you're fishers of men. Now go out and evangelize. Win the world for Christ. Bring people into the church and like. We've heard that phrase so often, and yet it carries a whole lot of guilt because, well, look at us. We haven't won the world for Christ, have we? And we have precious few of our neighbors here in church with us. Perhaps we've heard it too often. Maybe we've lost sight of how profound this text is. It isn't just something like simple, like go invite your neighbors. There's much more going on here. But what is Jesus really talking about? Well, like I said, we tend to look at this as a command. Follow me. Be fishers of men. But that misses the point. The whole point of what Jesus is on about here, he just got done preaching in verse 15, "Repent and believe the gospel. The kingdom of God is near." Now he says to Simon and to Andrew, he says, "When you believe this, this is what I will do to you. I will make you part of this new special kingdom. I will make you part of the gospel, and I will remake you into someone completely different, into a fisher of men." Now, this is no small thing. They were being called not just away from their boats. In fact, you know, people think that they abandoned their boats completely, left them to rot on the shore. That's not true. Because later on, after the resurrection, what are they doing? They're back at their boats. They're fishing, right? So they still had their livelihood there. No, the calling is much more profound because they are being called not away from their boats, but away from the world, away from the satanic realm. They are being called into this new kingdom that Jesus is preaching, this new gospel that Jesus had proclaimed. So he says, "I will make you fishers of men." Now, Jesus didn't invent that phrase. He didn't have a trademark on fishers of men. Actually, when Jesus says that, he's quoting Jeremiah, the prophet. In the book of Jeremiah, God had said he was going to chastise his people for their lack of faith. He would judge them, and they would suffer for their abandonment of the word, and they would be scattered. But as they would be scattered, the few faithful people would be scattered with them and sent all to different lands. And God said, this state will not last forever. There's going to come a time when the chastisement will be over and it will be a time of mercy and peace. And so through Jeremiah, God says, as the Lord lives, who brought up the people of Israel out of the north country and out of all the countries where he had driven them, I will bring them back to their own land, and I will give them that I gave to their fathers. Behold, I am sending many fishers of men, declares the Lord, and they shall catch them. You see what God is saying in Jeremiah? Jeremiah is saying, okay, you had this old kingdom, this old land that I brought you to. It was me. I gathered you together and I brought you to this land. But now you're scattered. Now you're all over the place. But the time will come when I'm going to send men out to gather you up together, and you're going to have a new kingdom, a new world, except it's not going to be like this kingdom that you're living in, this land that you're living in. And it won't be like the old kingdom either. It's going to be a new country, a new kingdom that is ruled not by wickedness and sin, but a kingdom that is opposed to wickedness and sin. Not a kingdom that is ruled by power and might, but a kingdom that's ruled by grace and mercy. This is going to be a separate kingdom, a kingdom that is above all the worldly kingdoms, and there you shall dwell securely. That's God's promise through Jeremiah. And he says, don't worry, when this kingdom comes about, I'm going to send out men, fishers of men, to gather my people back into this kingdom. That's the context of Jesus' words. Jesus proclaimed, the kingdom of God is near. How near? Well, he is standing right there. It's in his body, right? You couldn't get any nearer than Jesus standing that far away and says, the kingdom of God is near. For sure it is. And so he says, repent and believe the gospel, this good news, that the time is now right. Right after this, Jesus heals a demon-possessed man. He casts out the demon, and the demon screams out. He says, I know who you are. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? Oh, yes, devil. He has come to destroy you. You've got that one right. He has come to destroy the power that you had over all the children of men ever since the Garden of Eden. And he's going to crush you. He's going to drive your head into the ground with the cross. And then after the cross, there he's going to institute the church, where he's going to give this power of crushing to the church in the office of the keys, the power to forgive the sins of those who are penitent and to retain the sins of those who are impenitent, coming from the pastor as from Christ himself. No, devil, Christ will not leave you alone. He will crush you. He will destroy you. This is your end. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. When Christ speaks these words, when Christ speaks his words, they accomplish what he says. Jesus never just talks about something. What he says is what comes to pass by the power of his word. So now he says to Simon and Andrew, come follow me, I will make you fishers of men. This isn't a command. He is speaking sacred words over them, which changes who they are right then and there. Through God's word, through Christ's word, they are anointed to administer the word of God, to speak the word of judgment against sin and devil, and to bring sinners into this new kingdom. They are immediately remade into these new people. And so the text says, immediately they left their nets and follow him. Now, if I were to ask you what the first miracles of the Bible are in the New Testament, what would you say? Well, traditionally we say it's the changing of water into wine. We talk about on the first Sunday of Epiphany. You might say, well, maybe it's where Jesus heals the blind and the lame. In fact, in Mark, this is the first gospel. And you know who I learned that from? It was from Pastor Baines, your former pastor. He said, this is the first miracle in the Gospel of Mark. And you say, where's the miracle? The miracle is that they are miraculously changed. They are changed from being citizens of this world condemned to death to citizens of the kingdom of God condemned to life. That miracle has happened to you, in you, yes? People say, oh, I've never seen a miracle. Well, look at your own life. Do you think you wouldn't be here except by the miraculous power of God worked in you through the word and the waters of holy baptism? Of course. This is a miracle that's happened to you. Look at here. We have these fishermen, hardworking laborers, and now they are changed from being dead in their trespasses and sins to being alive in Christ Jesus. And so Jesus says to these newborns, come follow me. And Simon and Andrew leave their nets and they go on. Now, what do you think is going through their minds at this point? What are they thinking? Jesus says, follow me. And you can almost picture, Jesus starts walking away and they're going, what just happened? We don't understand Jesus, and he's walking away. And he turns over his shoulder and says, no, come on. Come follow me. This is a little different perspective on the follow me thing, right? Come on, you'll see. But where is he going? Now, the unfortunate part of this text is that the reading for this Sunday stops here and it leaves us hanging. Jesus is walking away. He's saying, come on, let's go, follow me. And where is he going? And then we stop. Kind of a cruel trick that the people who devised the lectionary did. Well, if you go on to verse 21, it gives the answer. And it says, and immediately, like right away, on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught as one who had authority. Do you see what Jesus is saying when he says, follow me? He said, come on, follow me. We're going to go to the synagogue. And in the synagogue, you're going to hear the word of God. You're going to hear the words of Jeremiah. You're going to hear the words of the Old Testament, of the Torah. And they're going to tell you exactly what happened right here and now. Now, in Jesus' day, in the synagogue, you'd have these services on the Sabbath that were led by laymen. And every man would take a turn leading the service. And what happened, he would be up in the front. All the men were down in the front, and then all the men and women were up in a balcony looking down. That's the way they did it. And the man would then approach, the one leading the service would approach these ornate wooden cupboards that contained the Torah, the first five books of Scripture, all in scrolls. And he would open them up, and he would take one of the scrolls out, and then he'd go to the reading desk and he'd unroll it to the reading that was assigned for the day. He would then read this text very carefully, roll it up, and then he'd read something from one of the old rabbis, the ancient rabbis, and he would read their commentary on that particular text. So it's Jesus' turn. He's in the synagogue. He's leading the service. He goes up to the cabinet, opens it up, takes out the scroll, and rolls it to the reading of the day. He reads it. There's this pregnant pause. Who's he going to quote? What rabbi is he going to read from? And he doesn't do any of that. Instead, he says, I say to you. Do you see what's happening? Jesus isn't going to quote any rabbi because he is the rabbi. He has just been reading his own words, words that were inspired, the words that he directed his holy writers to write down. Holy men, prophets wrote down as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, right? And so here is Jesus speaking with authority, says the text. Of course he has authority. He is very God of very God, begotten, not made. And here he is, the kingdom of God, made flesh, standing in their presence, and he's telling them what the scriptures are about, and that is, it is about this new life that is found in him and him alone. What a wonderful thing Jesus does. He calls his disciples away from their work, away from their business life. He takes them away from all their difficulties, away from all the struggles that come with living in this world. And he says, come on, Let's go to the synagogue. Let's hear the word of God. And there Jesus then proclaims himself to be the King of Peace, who has brought them into a new kingdom, a kingdom built on mercy and forgiveness and kindness and hope. That's exactly what Jesus has done for you. He has called you away from your busy life. And what a life we live, right? It's one that's filled with all sorts of struggles and frustrations and things we get angry with and disappointed with and frustrated with. And he says, okay, now come with me, follow me. And he brings you here into his holy house to do what? To talk about the affairs of this world and the cares of this life? No, but to hear his sweet words, to receive his luscious sacrament, and whereby he gives us all the blessings of his kingdom of peace. He is here, working through the words of your pastor, who speaks not as men of the world. I don't think his sermons are filled with political speeches or social justice causes or the latest sports scores, I hope. Yeah, okay. Maybe I failed on the last one, I don't know. He doesn't do that. Lots of churches, you'll find that, right? He speaks as one who has authority, the authority entrusted into him who is the rabbi of all rabbis, Jesus our Lord. And what does he speak? He speaks words that you never hear anyplace else. Words of forgiveness, words of life, words of salvation. I think it's pretty safe to say that we live in some pretty rancorous times, especially in the world of politics, but not just in the world of politics. It seems like we're living in a world where people are set against one another. Men are so divided. They point fingers and they call names, and if you disagree with them, they slander you and say, you're bad. And then we say, no, you're the bad ones. You're the crazy ones. Right? That's the world that we live in. Why is it that way? Now, I know there are all sorts of sociological reasons you could come up with, and maybe economic explanations, political, whatever. But could it be at the very heart and core of all this rancor, it's that men and women are searching out a new and better kingdom? They know this one isn't that great, and they're looking for something else. Could it be that they are looking for someone, anyone, who speaks with authority? But where they get it wrong is they think they're going to find that in the world. They're going to find it through social justice causes, or through government, or through politics, or through organizations, or protests, or whatever have you. And so they miss out completely. In these times then, can you see what it means to be a fisher of men? It doesn't mean that we're called to win the world for Christ or remake our community into a bastion of rightness. It means that we say to our friends and our family and our neighbors, come on, come follow me. You don't understand, but I know some place where you can go where maybe you will understand. Come, for God has given me a faithful pastor who preaches Jesus, who preaches the forgiveness of sins, who preaches a right understanding of the new kingdom, of the good kingdom. Thank Jesus, my friends, that you have such a pastor. Thank Jesus. But I want to tell you that we also need young men to step forward, many more young men to go fishing. We need young men and young women to step forward to be pastors and teachers, deaconesses and parish workers, young people who are willing to serve the Lord by taking up the mantle of teaching that word, that pure and precious word, to his church. Now, I suppose when we hear this passage, what place do you give yourself right away? Where, like, who do you place, whose shoes are you wearing? Whose sandals are you strapping on? Probably you're saying, yeah, I'm strapping on the one of being fishers of men. Okay. Maybe you should start placing yourself, casting yourself, not as a fisher of men, but as a fish. Because a fish is what we were born as. Fish who love to swim in an ocean of sin and death. Fish who love to sit there in the darkness. And that's where we were born most comfortable, right? Our firstborn environment. But our good Lord Jesus Christ has scooped us out of those waters with this great, huge, big baptismal net. And he has brought us, hauled us into the ship, the boat of the Holy Christian Church. And so Scripture says that of his mercy he saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Aboard this wonderful boat, God has remade us so that we don't have to swim in that putrid water anymore. We can breathe the fresh, refreshing air of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We live in this brand new environment, this new world, not ruled by sin and fear and wickedness and death, but one that is ruled by grace and mercy, forgiveness and life, peace and hope. We are remade from fish to fishermen, from those who have been caught by the word to those who have been those who cast out nets. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.